You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much-appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moyer Tzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
Hello. It's Shushan Purim, Tavshin Pei Dal. It's been 2 years since the Ptira of Agoyin HaTzadik, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal. Here is a discussion that Rabbi Yosef Gabriel Bechafer and I had on the heels of his Ptira. I think although it is definitely fresh with pain, I think it's worthwhile to be mizboinen on the greatness of Rav Chaim. And as we present it as something for your edification.
The real Sarat Torah, the Goyin, the Godol Ador, the incredible, incredible Ish HaTorah, Sarat Torah, the venerated leader of Haredi Judaism, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, or Shmario Yosef Chaim Kanievsky, we should say Zecher Tzadik, Kodesh Vibrocha.
Okay, we should stop you there. First of all, He was not a leader. He was a Goyin Adir Venifla, and he didn't want to be a leader. And he was possibly didn't serve as a leader. And he had a tremendous amount of respect and honor because of his extraordinary Torah.
But not extraordinary. Out of everybody else's league, Torah.
Yeah, you can put as many adjectives as you want, but because they're all true. But that's not the point. The point is, A was not a leader. He was. Then that's not his praise. His praise was he was Kulotera. And the second thing is, I don't. Although you said the word Haredi, there could be that this will detract from the positive regard which people have. And I don't like the use of term Haredi in general, but certainly.
You know what? Get it all out of me. It's fine. You know, look, it's all the...
No. Certainly, it's to call him a Haredi.
Well, look, the Klal Yisrael
diminishes him.
Okay, you don't have to tell me that. Look, I'm the one that...
I just told you that because you said it.
I am saying because there are many people outside of what they call the Haredi box who don't look at the Rav Chaim and that his unfortunately, the glory of who he is has been tarnished by others. But in terms of leadership, I agree with you. He did not look for a leadership position, but people looked for his psalkim, for his members. He was placed there that we have to follow Rav Chaim. And he was turned into a leader, and he was a de facto leader. Whether that's what his rotzen was or not, I don't know. Did he see himself like Rav Shach? Not at all. Did he see himself as I'm going to fight for this? No. He was not
that. He didn't see himself as Rabbi Yashim either. I don't think he ever saw himself as a person.
I didn't notice that in your nitpicking, and I'm happy I didn't call him a Paisik because he wasn't known as a Paisik. However,
you didn't call him a Paisik.
I did not call him a Paisik.
No?
No, I didn't. Okay? Get your facts right, Bechhofer.
We have to scroll back and see. Okay.
We have to scroll back. I didn't call him the Paisik Hador. I called him the Godel, which is true. And in a way, he was almost beyond psak. Yes, there were psakim that were issued from Rav Chaim, and you can find them everywhere, mostly in this forum of the people who wrote him questions. And they have been generated in Alonim throughout. And clearly, many, many hanhogos that took on the power of the psak of Rav Chaim were there. But Rav Chaim was kulei Torah. And in a way, his das, although he was very, very aware of the mechanism of psak halacha in terms of the way it works, he was not the poisek hador the same way his father-in-law was, the amud ara. And yet, I would say Rebbe Yoshev understood that he was involved in leadership issues much more than his son-in-law. I don't know if it was begrudgingly, Rebbe Yoshev, I know from people who used to speak with him, knew he had to get involved in many different areas of what we would call Hanhagas HaTzibur. And that I think is for sure. I don't know. And I know from people who he was mazer to, but you're right. His son-in-law was not that way. In many ways, it was really after the death of Rebbe Yoshev that his son-in-law, along with a team with another incredible guy in terms of his tzidkus, in terms of his learning, Rav Aaron Lev Steinman. I think it was then that it was solidified the idea that this was where Mishom Yotza Hanhoga Yisrael. But look, we have to, as my nephew pointed out, they don't know what to feel. They don't know what to feel. This is such a halal. Somebody was here, and I have to tell you, of course, we're going to talk about our friends here at A&H, who, as we know, on every Erev Shabbos, allow us this incredible zman to be able to talk. The mashkiach, who I come to take his place, said to me, and he's a man already close to 80 years old, he said, I am so shocked. I really thought that he was going to be the one to be leading us to Mavasar Pnei Mashiach. I don't know if you had that regish or not, but I think many
people... I know many people have that regish. I don't feel that way because I don't think Mashiach is coming anytime soon unless Klai is so up to tact severe dramatically. So I had no expectations.
But you know, it took us back to 1986. You know, when you still had a lot of chutzpah, when Rav Moshe was nifter, and you might remember. At that period, there was also like, no, Rav Moshe can't die. Rav Moshe was such a seminal figure that we felt, and the difference here, of course, was Rav Chaim, although he's been ill, you know, he was being cared for, I guess, at home. He had a stroke a number of years ago. But Rav Moshe's illness, which happened again in the Purim time, you know, people were wondering, they were on eggshells, is Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe will live, Rav Moshe is going to be the one to make out. And his death on Tainus Esther reverberated in a sense of shock, at least for me, and I know for many others of my age, and I think many people are feeling this today. We have to own up. Me and you are a cynic. I'm old, but the point is that for many young people, the way Rav Chaim has been built up, this is a shock to their system. No,
could be.
Yeah, because they're saying, okay, who's and Rav Chaim, because he did fit the description so perfectly, it's like, how can he be gone? It's like, okay, where's the person that is the living Sefer Torah, and that's Moy Muvan Amila, and that's I think there's going, I don't know if we're going to need psychologists to help people, but I think there's going to be the Klal Yisrael is going to need a zman, and whether it's the Haredi Chalik or not. Specifically or not, I think Klaus is going to need some zman to be Mashiach. I, you know, look, what I would like to do with you today, and is to start off. Look, the kvur isn't going to be until Yom Rishon, so I'm sure.
Not going to say Shabbos. No, I'm just going to wait this Sunday morning.
You think it's going to happen right after Shabbos? Maybe.
I mean,
technically that's called Yom Rishon, but all right, Leil Yom Rishon. I would assume it's going to be a huge amount of people, at least to rival probably the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in some way being mishtatif in the Levi, I'm not sure. But I think what we maybe could start off with, ants that we are, gnats, ants, amoebas, whatever, compared to the gedolim of especially the godless, what Rav Chaim was, maybe we should at least begin today to talk about the great contribution of Rav Chaim and how we can somehow start to be mashlim it and to be make him Beis Medrash Nebuch al Kvore that we hoped that we wished wouldn't happen. So why don't you start first?
Well, I think that the probably most people would consider his great contribution to Derech Emunah, which made a Mishneh Berurah. I guess the Tishu is not done yet, Daf Yomi in Derech Emunah, but
No, you're wrong. Dirshu actually has a program that they initiated as soon as the Shemitah year was to actually have Starim in Derech Emunah, and they came and had a photo op with Rav Chaim all about it. They did not issue the beautiful, I bought it because I jumped at it right away when I saw it. They reissued the Derech Emunah and Hilchah Shemitah V'Yoivo, but it was actually part of the Dirshu umbrella was to actually learn Derech
Emunah. Baruch Hashem, they think of everything. Okay. So, but that Derech Emunah clearly was so now that Dirshu recognizes as such a very, very significant contribution to Klaiso. You know, we had the Pasa Shulchan was probably before that the most widely. Yeah, it's nowhere near Derech Emunah. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, go on. Look, Rabbi Yisrael Sklov, I mean, obviously a tremendous Meir Mekayimus written by Kitzur Nimritz, but the Behirus, the Clarkite, the Derech Emunah, it's a towering, it's magnificent, it's incredible. Incredible, really. And our good friends at Art Scroll that we both work for in some shape or fashion, you much more than me, have really relied on it. And I know you don't look there because you don't need Art Scroll for your beer or your shalmi, and we'll get to that in a second. But besides his beer and shalmi, which I know you want to talk about, Art Scroll consistently quotes in their notes that they're a chamuna, like almost as pshat poshet. So it really has, jumped everywhere. And there are definitely questions that Derech Emunah you don't see anywhere else. Some of them are just Poshet Azachen. Others are Mavil Arayan in terms of his Bekiyas. And the fact, look, it's the place to go for Seder Zeroyim in the Rambam. I would say it's already a classic. There's no question about it. When you go to Bar Ilan, let me say it better. The Bar Ilan, I don't know if you use the Bar Ilan database. What?
Not regularly.
Yes, of course not. You don't need anything. You are the.
I use DBS.
Yeah. Okay. You don't need anything. But anyway, if you go to the Bar Ilan database, in the Rambam in Seder Zeroyim, the Aleph's in the base. In other words, the main place to look for the footnotes in the Rambam is the Derech Emunah. So they have actually been mishalev on Bar Ilan the Derech Emunah as to go hand in hand with the Limud Rambam plus the Beir Halachos. I mean. It isn't just this is a great frum sefer. We gotta learn it. The Gadol wrote it. It's really I think it breaks all boundaries as a sefer. But yeah, go ahead. But
I think that although it doesn't get enough credit, maybe because Dishu hasn't adopted it, or maybe you told me that he did. the Shona Halachos was a very very pro, I don't but pro I don't know. I think it's underutilized. I agree,
and I have used it for years because I give shiurim in Mishneh Berurah for the last 10 years. And often when I feel, and you've talked about it in our program that got a nice bit of pushback against you and against me about our machlekas about the Mishneh Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, one way that a Magid Shir can really help himself if he's giving a shiur in Mishneh Berurah is to actually chazer the Shoyin Halachos, where you're going to see the Inyonim being clarified and done also many times, and I think this is what you're alluding to, although you're not saying it, that he, Aruch HaShulchan, like, he sometimes changes the Seder of the Halachos. He'll organize it more analytically. What's incredible about the Sefer is that unlike people like you and me, who everything we do, we have to put with a tremendous amount of fanfare of how great it is. You read the Hakdama, the Shein Aloch, and say, yeah, I didn't do much over here. I just wanted this to be something for people to chazer over with the Pesachim and the Chazanish. But really, it is a very important work. And especially, again, if you're giving shir or you want to review the Mishneh Berurah, he gets the point. So it is, yes, three volumes. And he mastered, I think, economy of writing. He has a gift, he has a gift of economy of writing that others don't have. It's not always apparent, right. But you can see it that he is not somehow he Yarshin. I don't think his father has it, by the way. The Stipler himself did not have his son's Kishreinus in writing.
Yeah, but they're different than Mahalchim. The Stipler
is classical Yeshiva. I understand. But still, there's something about Rav Chaim, and maybe that's why he loved so much writing these little two or three word answers. Because he had, and part of it, I would say, for Chaim, it's about zman. It's about knowing how to write traditionally to go on to the next thing. But also, you know, like the Netziv writes and the famous Moshel about the flies and the honey, when he talks about the fact that you do want to be able to, you know what? Look, you don't have to spoon feed everything. You don't have to be Meirach. You say the idea, okay, let the guy come back two or three times. Oh, that was the perfect way to write it. So yes, the Shoina Lochas, yes. Go ahead.
By the way, what you just mentioned about his answers, that's a tremendous. What's Ruchai Kanevsky going to do for Chesed? Obviously, he's kula shakul and Torah and learning. But the fact that he answered for years all these postcards which he was sent, you know, it's tremendous. They didn't have to do that. It was tremendous Chesed on his part that he was makbid to answer anybody who asked him a question. It's very powerful. I was very impressed by that. I mean, I barely answer any emails I get, and he answered every little postcard he got.
Yes, it is very fat, and I think there's some story behind it why he decided to do it that way. And I'll tell you another thing: a lot of in this forum, he writes, "Don't be soimach alai, I'm just writing you back." I mean, we've talked about it on the show. How these answers have become the basis of Sfarim. And he didn't mean it. You know, people could say Rav Moshe didn't mean it. You know, I don't rely on me, I'm Psak. But Rav Moshe has very long, well-reasoned out ideas. I'm not saying Rav Moshe didn't mean it, but Rav Chaim did mean it, right? Rav Chaim did mean it. And of course, this is, I think, one of the dangers that's going to occur. I think, you know, in Rav Chaim's absence, I think there's going to be a clarion call for every little scrap of paper is going to come out. And I think we're going to have a shtickle bahola as far as that goes. Let me go to the shoe that you were going to say about, because as I was driving here to A&H, which of course is the purveyor for Pesach, as you know, of some of the best kosher provisions that are possible to really eat. If those of you, you know, if you had a great Purim Sukkah and you were Tayyim Tam Basar, you realize that A&H is there. We've been ready for 3 months already with Pesach production that is incredible. All the wonderful products, you know, that are available throughout the year are all kosher with Pesach, Mahadrim and Mahadrim, not Achshash Kitnius Bechlau. And as I always say, that you can have the incredible succulent taste of A&H. Tachlis akashris, bitachlis atam. But as I was driving here today, I know that Rabbi Yosef you were talking about how much you're makir tov, because we know Rav Chaim, of course, learned everything. Similar to our own Sarah Teira here, who has storim to finish Shas in a year. Rav Chaim finished it many times during the year, and he finished Yerushalmis, and he gave Shurim and Yerushalmi, and the Talmidim were able to tape his Yerushalmi Shurim. And they were able to generate from those tapes a beer maspik on the Yerushalmi, which has now been printed. It came out as a separate contrasim, I think, in the 1990s. It's available. Most of them are available on Hebrew books. And Oiz V'Hodar, the new Oiz V'Hodar Yerushalmi, which I have a volume with me here today, Yerushalmi Trumas, which I'm learning now, is adorned with the beer rachak. And as Rabbi Yosef knows, it is, once again, economy of Dibur, also with Glatkeit, because you know, the Yerushalmi is sometimes, it's not mind-numbing, but it's so frustrating. Where's the psik? Where's the stop? What's this kasha? And Rav Chaim is able, I would say, even better than the I always get his name, Karavisov, the Rav that told us Yitzchok, right?
Who? Yeah.
What?
I told
us Yitzchok or the Tvuna, right? Who also is very good. You're of course a big fan of that Alta Beer, right? What was that? The one that you liked?
The Mashbiach, Rabbi Sivitz.
From right. But I would say whoever put it together did a great job. No?
Yeah. It is an amazing, especially Kilayim is incredible. You know, David Krunglass writes in his Akdama to a Sefer, I forget the name of the Sefer, Dibrei David, I think, that he tried to learn Yerushalmi when he was in Shanghai. And he learned this, that, the other thing, but he was not Matzliach in Kilayim.
I'm happy I followed in his path because I got to Chelik, I got to Perek Hay, and I stopped. And we still going to go back and do it. Then we jump to Shvius. Kilayim is the...
The Yerushalmi or
the Erevin of the Bavli. It is Kilayim and Yerushalmi is very tough. And it's
so I'm embarrassed to say that I had no difficulty with Kilayim because I was using the beer of a Chaim Kanievsky. And everything he says is very glad, and he has excellent drawings as well.
Kilayim is definitely, I'm getting back to it. Although Perek Tes is Gishmak, because that gets back to
That's like saying Arabic Psachim is the
it's very Gishmak though. Very Perek Tes gets it's a much easier ride. But Enochinami, Rav Chaim's, which really goes to show you that it really depends. There are Talmidim, Rav Yavrov and others who have really, with Rav Chaim's incredible longevity, have really made a career out of distilling Rav Chaim's status. We have, the Divrei Siach that comes out. It's a nice little alone where you get a little bit of a potpourri of stuff. But you also...
It's interesting. You can really pinpoint when Rav Chaim was no longer being mitafkei by when the Divrei Siach had to resort to other Gedolim. Last few months, they've had a mador of other Gedolim.
I haven't been printing it out lately, but I did use it. And again, there are, Rav Chaim has, I don't know how many of them are in the Mishpacha itself, but I think that there were many people close to Rav Chaim that I think, I would say, again, we would have to be Soymach, and they did a great job distilling Rav Chaim's Torah. And also, I would say a better thing than that, which is also, and Dirshu does this as well, I think they do a decent job in this, of being Mishalev Rav Chaim with everybody else. Yes. In other words, if you look in the Moisikia Dirshu, they also, I think, are able to find the places where Rav Chaim placed it, though he wasn't. It's important to see Rav Chaim. I also would want, I think, if you go on Oitzer HaChochma and you enjoy yourself, you can find Oitzreis, real Oitzreis. Or for example, they printed the letters from Rebbe Yoshev to Rav Chaim when he was a bocher going out with Batsheva. Going out, I don't know, but they were getting ready to get married. Yeah, they weren't walking around Tel Aviv bars. I mean, they were having, right? But they were going out, and they were still not married. And the way, and the incredible respect Rav Yoshev had for this very young man at that point, he was only a 20-something when they got married, and you can see the...
I think Rabbi Levine made the shidduch.
Okay, we'd have to...
If I recall correctly, but...
We'd have to check that out. It's possible. Yeah. I can tell you that...
Rabbi Levine gave him a strimal as a gift.
Yeah. I can tell you that there is the letters are gevaldic. And he already calls him a Rav Agoyin, but you can see how they talk to each other and how Rav Chaim's letters to Rebbe Yoshev, it really is. I think when people write the history of Edims and Shvers, it's really going to stand as a very classic relationship. The type of Hachno Rav Chaim had to Rebbe Yoshev, the tremendous Aroch Rebbe Yoshev had to Rav Chaim, the fact they didn't even see each other that often, one being in Yerushalayim, one being in Bnei Brak, and still having this type of av and chavivus to the family, it really is. If you really want to humanize Rav Chaim, that's I think a place to go. Plus, you can get a lot of his Torah. Let's be a little bit cynical now, and then put up a hope for the positive in the future. Look, there's no question about it. Me and you have been on record. You and I have been on record here about how mishandled he was, how the people around him allowed him to sort of speak for what Daf Torah was. And even though it probably ended up causing people like Slifkin and others to start being matil, ashma on Rav Chaim, he clearly was being handled. And I'm talking about Rabbi Abrahav and others who wrote these things. I'm talking about these psukim, these two-line letters, these lines that would come out. What was interesting, of course, was the handwriting many times was clearer than the chasima, than the actual autograph of his name, which really lends itself to suspicion that maybe the people around him had, in a way, just written, and he said, okay, is that what it says? I'll sign it. I'm soymach on you. So, and I think that he was disturbed. We talked about COVID. I plotzed when I saw the fact that as the COVID was raging, he's giving haskamas on a type of matzah, whatever it is. They did him a disservice. The mishpacha loved him, but I think that there was a misuse of Rav Chaim. Do you agree?
Of course. Rav Chaim, this story, which I heard, I was in Shalvim, so it goes back 40 some odd years ago, that once Rav Chaim was at a rabbinical conference about something, a good conference about somebody, and Rav Chaim stood up and said, you know, we have to get rid of this golden Meir. She's terrible for Klal Yisrael. Everything she does is against Torah. And his father, Stipo, said, sit down. She's been dead for years already. So the story, I don't know if it's true, but it's the Stipo was Mufka. And that's when people said, when the Stipo has, they came out with controversial statements in the name of the Stipo, and so he tried to explain to everybody that he was Mufka from all this. He doesn't, none of this concerned him. And of course, if somebody told him this, he'd say, oh, yeah, terrible. Is this something that made, because he was not in touch with this world in that way. So therefore, yes, obviously a person like that can be used.
So you're saying that Kal v'chomer, if the Stipler has to be Mochiach, his son, that if the Stipler, who is so much Mufka from the Welt, Rav Chaim right. Is even less Mufka, it was more Mufka.
That's the point, right. That's the good of the story, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So, look, and Enoch Inami, which really, again, shows you the person who, there it's Torah and Rav Chaim cannot be separated, but we know in terms of nefoshes, of making hachros in schools and in communal policy, this is something where it would seem Rav Chaim, the psak, if it was a psak, needed to be funneled to him with a great amount, well, much more information than it was. And whether it's those maimorim, those letters of condemnation of things were forged or not, I leave it to others to discover. But clearly, this was not a place where Rav Chaim should be in. Unfortunately, he was, to the detriment, I think, of many, many other rabbonim. And it's something which I think people will, when they start thinking about this, I think people will come to terms. What I guess what I'm going to say is there's some people who have just lost some power right now, and we'll see how they coalesce around to somehow keep this power. Why we should even be talking about power of someone who is so alien to anything except Torah? It's unfortunate, but that's really the reality. And I think to speak any differently would be wrong. But let's go to Dover Tov. Is it Shayach? I mean, we're talking about Beis Medrash Al Kvoroi. Rav Chaim, when he was a young fellow in Kol Chazon Ish, as you said before, the Stipler and he learned very different, and so did all the other Chevra that were in there. Now, Chacham Avadya was there for a little while, and supposedly, according to Rav Yitzchak Yosef, was also like the one who everybody came to from Arim HaKodesh. But Rav Chaim was doing stuff that was completely different. He was learning different in Yonim. Supposedly, Rav Michal Lefkowitz and others had said that he's going to be different and we're going to need him. And Stipler supposedly says that. But he was definitely in areas that nobody else was learning or had shlita in.
Yes, as far as the Masechlis Katanas, which are,
well, it's one of the first Sfarim I bought when I was learning Kedushin. That was one of the first Sfarim I bought from Rav Chaim. I didn't know who wrote it. All I knew was I wanted to say from Masechta Sfarim. I was happy that the Brisa Melechas HaMishkan came along with it. I said, okay, that looks pretty cool too. I'll get that. And the Biurim, tremendous. He was very proud of the Sefer Nachal Eitan, which is on Egla Arufa, which, you know, and he felt, and he writes there, look, it's a field that's muznach. I'm happy. I really feel a schus to be able to write in these areas. So I guess here's where we're at. Who can be mashlim? Maybe with all the computer energies and powers and machonim, but is it shayach to be hoylech bedarkai? Is it shayach? I mean this seriously. I'm not being cynical. Is it shayach? Again, we talked about Shlomo Fischer and his hekif. But again, aim like Tmorose is an understatement.
Yeah, listen, since I think you only will find somebody like that in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't know exactly what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's quite possible that there are a dozen, not necessarily replying Kanievskis, but a dozen people of tremendous Gishwinas or Nechba Lakeim or haven't yet been brought out into the open. I would like to think that. I don't know if it's true, but I'm on Israel. Hopefully, there are people who are, in fact, the Krocha de Kulebe, who we, because we live in Tumas Chutzlaritz, haven't heard about.
Yeah, well, the question is, will they be able to be, venerated in the same way, Rav Chaim?
Yeah, right.
Rav Chaim, again, besides the fact he was so unique in terms of his Yedias and Hekef, Okolote Rakula, et cetera. He had what we now call rabbinic aristocracy. Even before he married Rabbi Yoshev's daughter, he was the nephew of the Chazon Ish. He was a Steiper's son, cousins with Rabbi Nissen Karelitz. I mean, there was and I think that's what allowed. And it's unfortunate, but I don't think somebody's going to come out of. There's not going to be Rav Sadia Gaon coming out of Fiumi, to become the Lechora, right? I mean, it's very, Rav Chaim had a little bit of an easier path because of who he was to ascend. I think there's still his nagdus to just be a meritocracy. It seems that something, it's going to be dependent on somewhere in the Mishpacha. I don't know who in the Mishpacha. It's not going to, look, let's be honest. We haven't seen anything like that from Rav Chaim's children or grandchildren, right?
Right.
They've been they've helped. They've been disseminators, but you haven't seen anything similar to that. You do have his brother-in-law, who we've talked about, who I think is a very important person in Klal Yisrael. But come on, Rav Zilberstein is Rav Zilberstein.
No tushta whatsoever.
Of course not. You can't even mention them in the same breath. And Rav Zilberstein would probably say that right away. But again, you have from the Auerbachs. Again, it sounds like we don't know who the heir apparent is what I'm saying. And I think there's going to be some thinking about this. There's going to be some, it would be horrible to think that there's going to be some muscling to decide. What I would say is, from the Rischa point of view, is that we want our listeners. And by the way, I was very happy that we got close to 1,000 downloads on our Super Soul Party, which we did about a month ago on Purim. And so we have to, we're really thankful that people are not
which
only
that has, which
the one we did about the Chabad Super Soul Parties and our recommendations for Perushim on Megillas Esther.
Okay.
So, look, what we would say, look, if you, obviously, you have various amounts of respect for Rabbi Bechaffer and myself, but I think both of us would encourage, especially during this week and during this month, as we get ready for Shlosh Mekayim Achag, to learn Taitrus of Reb Chaim, to really come.
I wonder if they're going to have a God of Reb Chaim out before Pesach.
I see. Yeah, there's probably. I'm sure, look. Unfortunately, it's almost like the obit section in the New York Times. You know what I'm saying? They have stuff. Believe me, right. People are generating stuff.
Right.
What I would say, and it's already obviously people.
Oh, we really have to end with Reb Chaim's amazing anova. And his favorite pun of Yafos. I never went to visit him, but I don't think his disciple ever smiled. and the pictures.
Let me put it this way. The sniper seemed to be in a state of avoida tamidis. He seemed to be in a state like he was.
And they say it was machzich deaf. He really wasn't deaf. That he was, you know, they say the story of Chaim Kreisler came in. I don't know if it's true or not true. Chaim Kreisler once came into the sniper and he said, I know you're not deaf, and you know you're not deaf, and I'm going to speak to you in learning. So I don't know if the story is true or not true, but you know, but
right.
he was putting himself off.
But I would say is if our young listeners are looking for a place to jump on, if it's not going to be Derech Emunah, what I would say is a good place to jump on is the Time of the Crow. The Time of the Crow is Geschmack. I can't say it's as good as the Big Day Sheish, but I can tell you that it is a place that you can find really, and you don't have to, and again, the economy of Dibur. He has Geshmak Zachen over there, and you can see this was, let me say it better, this was his things that he thought about on the way back out of the Beis Medrash, go walking home. You know what I'm saying? This was not what he was being mashkiyed. But, you know, obviously, when you know Kol HaTorah Kulo and you're thinking, so here are machshavos that he has on Tanakh, on Chumash, get yourself a time in the Krah. You can get something on Hebrew books. Learn it. Chevra, look, realize, don't just say Sarah Torah. Recognize what the Torah that Sar represents.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.